under the sun. There is a time, sometimes it's for birth. And there is a time, sometimes it's for death. There is death and there is birth. And when there is birth, it's awesome. Yay. Yay, birth. Grandma, grandpa, we have new grandparents this morning. Isn't that great? When you see your grandchild, the pictures, and maybe one day you're going to hold him, or have you, or maybe you've already held him. Do you say, oh, but Pastor Eddie said that what is lacking is can't be counted, and what is crooked can't be straightened. You're not thinking that. You're thinking, man, this is mine. This is part of me. This is great. Oh, look, the baby's holding my finger. Oh, look, the baby's sucking on my pinky. How nice. Time to be born. It's awesome. And a time to die. It's terrible. I'm going to tell you very quickly. I would consider myself a spiritual person. We are spiritual people. I'm not more spiritual. I am a spiritual person, as are many of you. When I die, at my funeral, I would like you to cry. Okay? Please, shed a tear for me. I'm not the type to say, when I die, I want it to be a celebration of my life. And it's going to be a party. It ain't no party. I died. Okay? And it's not just that I died. It's that death won again. Death is undefeated, folks, except for one, right here. Okay? Jesus Christ. Outside of him, death is undefeated. And when I die and when you die, I will cry for you. Because I don't like it that death keeps winning. It's not a good thing. Death is never a good thing. This is why in the book of Revelation, oh death, where is your sting? It's gone. You got no more sting. We took it out of you. We defeated you through Jesus Christ. If it's so good, why do we want to defeat it? Death is awful. Death is awful. I know we have perspective about heaven and paradise, and those are all good things. Those are comforting things. Doesn't change the fact that death is terrible. Time to born, time to die. If you want to take sort of the extremes of the inconsistencies in the world, it is that. Time to born, time to die. Today is July 1st. June 24th, a week ago, was my mother's 67th birthday. Were she alive? This past Wednesday, June 27th, was the 32nd anniversary of her death. This past Wednesday. I live time to born, time to die, every end of June. June 24th, June 27th. And then, the year after she died, my cousin, my little cousin, was born on June 24th. 1987, the year after my mother died, was born on my mother's birthday. And so every June 24th, I am thinking about my mom while writing a text to my cousin. Happy birthday, cousin. I live out a time to be born and a time to die every June. That's what makes the world so frustrating. Because it's got good and it's got bad. There is a time to plant and a time to uproot. The uprooting here is not uprooting for consumption. It's like weeding, okay? It's like uprooting dead plants that didn't make it. Maybe you've experienced that. You've planted stuff and you're really hoping, you're praying. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm supposed to add water and fertilizer, and I just hope to God that it takes. And some of them do and some of them don't. And when you plant, there's hopefulness. There's, yes, I'm going to reap a harvest of tomatoes, of lemons, of peaches. My fig tree, I can see them. I'm so excited. And then there's a time yet when at the end of the process, there's nothing and you see it's just death and it needs to be taken out. Why is it like this? Why is it so inconsistent? There is a time to kill and a time to heal. Boy, can you hear someone using this as a justification for murder? For kill? Well, the Bible says there's a time to kill. No, that there is a time of killing. And there is a time of healing. It's not there is a time for killing, that there is a time of killing. The world is full of killing, and the world is also full of healing. There is a time to tear down, and there is a time to build. There is a time to tear down. I remember when this building, 10 years ago, was built. We used to have an old building. Some of you who were here, who grew up in this church, still have nostalgic feelings of the decrepit state of the building that this used to be. You know, I think that there was a long period of time when the church was prepping to remodel, and so we had holes in the drywall that were never patched. I think it was Mike Oakey who fell through the wall and put a big old dent in the drywall. You could see the studs. But, you know, we're a Chinese church, and we it's okay. We can just put a chair there, and it's all done. It's fixed, right? Oh, well, we're going to remodel. It'll be 7 years later, but we'll get to it. Oh, hey, there you go. Thank you. We're here. And I remember when the building came down, I was in my office. I was looking from my balcony. I have a little ledge. I was taking video of the, and I thought, get rid of it. Yeah, it's down. And then when there was a fireplace, a fire, what's it called? Chimney stack. A big brick chimney stack or a foundation or some sort of brick structure. And the big crane was knocking it down, literally like a video game. Until it fell over. And there was a bit of, that's kind of sad. I didn't grow up in this church, but I'd been here long enough to develop a little bit of nostalgia for that building. It's gone. There's a time to build, and there's a time to tear down, and life is full of these kinds of inconsistencies. There is a time of weeping, and there is a time of laughing. And anybody who's lived life has experienced both all the time. Sometimes in the same movie, you weep and you laugh. There is a time to mourn and there is a time to dance. I could do without the mourning, but I know that there is a time that we will mourn. There is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. Again, these inconsistencies. Scattering stones is... Many commentators think that this is a way of warfare. In other words, when we're fighting a battle with our enemy, we go into their field and we throw rocks in their field to prevent growth, to hinder their growth, to hinder their supply chain. And likewise, when we are about to plant a field, the first thing that we would do is to go through that land and to gather the rocks so as to prep the soil. So again, on the one hand, you've got life-building activity. On the other hand, you've got life-killing activity. There is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. When my children come to church and they see you, we will say things like, please say hi to Haniel Guga. Go give Haniel Guga a hug. Go give Uncle Mike a hug. Go say hi to Auntie Mindy, and they will go and they will embrace. But when we go to Safeway, we don't say, go say hi to that strange man. Go give that woman a hug. No, we teach them, stranger danger, right? You don't talk to strangers, but then don't you talk to strangers? We do at church. If you're a stranger to me and I meet you for the first time and I'm with my children, I will tell my children, go say hi to these people. My sons must be so confused. When do I say hi? When do I not? How come at Safeway they're dangerous and at church they're not? You're still a stranger. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to withhold and say, no, I'm not going to embrace. There's a time to search and a time to give up searching. There's a time to search. Can you imagine if you were missing something particularly precious? You know, I'm not talking about your keys or your wallet. Those are important things, but they're not precious. What if it's your wedding ring? What if you're searching for your wedding ring? After I proposed to Cindy, shortly after that, we went to a football game, the big game, Cal Stanford. It was at Stanford. This was in 2002. And we went to the big game, and we sat there. I think we lost. And she, in order to protect her engagement ring, the ring with, you know, the stone in it, she put it in her pocket. Why? I don't know. And she had these like track pants on because it was cold that day, and she had a zipper on the pocket, so she zipped it up, okay, secure in her pocket. So we go to the game, and we're coming back from the game. We're in the car. We left the stadium, and she starts to freak out. I have never seen her so hysterical. You need to stop. What? I don't have my ring. I said, you put it in your pocket. It's not there. All right, hold on. Okay. Let's think about this. Where could it be? You put it in your pocket. Did you set it down on the bench in the stadium? We could go back. I don't know. Just stop the car. Let's stop the car. Let's look around your chair. And she is so frantic. Now, let's be frank. That ring can be replaced. I mean, not anytime soon, but it can be replaced. It's a lot of money. It can be replaced. I would rather not replace it. Did insure it. But she is freaking out. And I, to be honest, I thought to myself, oh, you must really love me. Okay, good. This is good. This is good. I feel a little bit good about this. I'm like searching with my flashlight in every crevice of my car. The car's not a very big car. Searching. And then she says, oh, I found it. Where was it? In my pocket. Give it back to me. It was in a fold. Her pocket folded over, and it was in there. Okay, oh, my goodness. There's a time to search. Can you imagine if we had to give up? Why is the world full of these inconsistencies? This is what frustrates Kohelet. And I would also say, this is what frustrates us. You've got height, and you've got lows. And it's great when things end on a height, but what happens when things end on the lows? We find ourselves frustrated. And he's describing it for us. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I love throwing things away. It is one of the three Chang family mottos in my family. Number three, throw it away. Throw it out. But no, his point is keeping is good. Throwing it out means it's rotten, okay? That there are these inconsistencies. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to tear and a time to mend. Probably in the context of mourning, a good Hebrew in mourning would tear his or her clothes, his or her garments as a sign of mourning. But then they didn't throw them away. They mended them. They fixed them. There's a time to mourn. It's not good. There's a time to recover. In the mending, there is a time to be silent, and there is a time to speak. Again, not just two sides of a coin, both of which are good. No, one of them is good, and one of them is not good. A time to be silent. Maybe there's a time you're being scolded by a parent, and you have nothing to say, nothing in your defense. You just have to eat it, because you know you screwed up. You're reliving it, aren't you? Remember yesterday? No. You just got to be silent and take it. And that's not good. And there's a time to speak up. There's a time where there is love, and there is a time when there is hate. There's a time when we enjoy loving relationships, and there is a time where relationships are so broken that it can only be described as hateful relationships, hateful feelings. You know, people who hate you, just flat out can't stand you. I have those people in my life. And when I see them and I think about them, it's awful. There is a time when there is war, and there is a time when there is peace. I think all else being equal, Kohelet will say, while war sometimes is necessary, it's never good. It's not a good thing. Because war means that people are dying. War means that there is conflict that needs to be resolved. So look, this is what the section is. This is what this poem teaches us. That the world is full of these inconsistencies, where there are ups and there are downs. And these ups and downs are really the better description of the world. The first two chapters gives us the impression that the world is really just down, down, terrible place. And Kohelet in chapter 3 says, you know what, it's not like that actually. Let me nuance it a little bit. Let me give you a little bit more color, a little bit more flavor of what the world actually is. The world actually is this strange and disconcerting mix of both good and bad. And we all know it, okay? Because that's how we live life. We don't just live, it's not just all bad, all bad, all bad, all bad, all the time. It is a mix of good and bad. For some of us, sometimes there's more good than bad. That's great, you're in the positive. Sometimes there's more bad than good. That's not good, that's really burdensome. Sometimes it's just even, just equal. Okay, that's all right. Can you ask for more? And then sometimes in your life, you go through periods where it changes. But there's one thing, as we continue to read, Kohelet tells us, that makes this so increasingly frustrating. Verse 9, what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Right there in verse 11, to me, is the precise reason why these inconsistencies are so frustrating for believers and for people, not just believers, excuse me. He says in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. I don't think that Kohelet's perspective is to say that all these things are beautiful. They all have a time. No. I don't think that's what it, I think that's a misunderstanding of these words, largely because of the context that he has been walking us through. He says the reason that life is so frustrating is because while we experience these ups and downs, God puts eternity into our hearts. And what I'm hearing from Kohelet, what makes life frustrating is that we get these ups and downs, but in our hearts, we want steadiness. The eternity that's in our hearts is an eternity of steadiness. So this is now the ultimate inconsistency. People want steadiness, but people live in a world where there is anything but steadiness. You want calm, but you can never get calm. You want peace, steady, even keeled, but you can't get it. You can't get it here. Because this is not what the world is about. The world is a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to plant and a time to uproot. That's what the world is. However, each of us, in our hearts, we want steadiness. We want that consistency. We want that smoothness. That's what we long for. And that really is the greatest inconsistency. It's what we desire and what we experience. Kohelet says, do you understand this? Do you understand this about yourself and about the world? Do you understand? This is why things are frustrating. Any of us who have lived lives at any age knows that this is the world. And you can all, I can already hear a book, maybe a self-help book about dealing with tragedy and turmoil, maybe come to the conclusion you just need to accept that this is part of life. I would probably agree with that statement. You need to accept it. This is a part of the world. This is a part of our experience. But you don't have to like it. In fact, I'm going to suggest you will never like it. Because God has put into your hearts a desire for steadiness, not for this inconsistency. So, as long as we are living in this world Kohelet describes, we're going to experience this kind of frustration. There are moments where it's really good, and there are moments where it's not good. And maybe those moments are in the same day. So what does he conclude here in verse 12? If this is the case, if the world is so inconsistent, up and down, but we want steadiness, which also adds to the inconsistency. He says here in verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. If this is the case, that Kohelet tells us that the world is full of these inconsistencies, that we also have been put into our hearts. It's been put into our hearts a desire for smoothness. What's left for us? He says, there's nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in all your toil. This is a gift from God. I'm going to translate that for you. It's not eat and drink and just live it up and just indulge. I would love that. That'd be great. No. Kohelet says, in the midst of these frustrations, there's nothing better than to find joy, to find satisfaction, even if it's in brief moments, in the simple things. In the simple things. I don't think he's talking about lavish meals. He's not talking about drunkenness. He's saying, you know what? It is God's gift to many of us. Not everybody can do this. To just enjoy the simple things. And not get so irritated by the inconsistencies because you know them. What prevents us from finding joy in the simple things? Okay, I'm gonna turn the page a little bit and talk about one thing that I was thinking as I was reflecting on this message, how to finish, how to conclude it. The world is up and down, up and down, up and down. Do you know what avenue, what venue, what place that I see almost on a daily basis that tells me that the world, for other people, not my life, but other people that I know, their life is just awesome all the time? Where do I look? Facebook. I'm going to describe some friends of mine. And if it's you, sorry. Okay. No, I want you to think to yourself, do you know people like this? Every amazing meal is chronicled for me to look at, to like, and then to despise. Because I'm trying to lose some weight. I can't eat like that. I've got cauliflower rice, which is actually very good. Zoodles, which not so good. I really appreciate that my wife makes those things for us. I would not say that I naturally enjoy them. Cauliflower rice versus regular rice? No, it's not even close. Zoodles versus noodles. Do you know what zoodles are? You don't know what zoodles are? Oh, you're so lucky. Zoodles are noodles made of zucchini. They're fake noodles. Cauliflower rice is cauliflower that's cooked and then or ground up into a fine powder, almost. Looks kind of like rice. And then you stir fry just to give it a little bit of texture. And that's the rice. There's no carbs, right? Less calories. Why was I talking about zoodles? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So these amazing meals that I see on Facebook, okay? And then I got other friends who they're just on a vacation all the time. And their vacation, they're just so happy all the time. I've got this one friend, every weekend her family does some cool activity. And, what a great way to spend a Saturday. And all their kids are on their bikes at the beach. And I'm like thinking, wow, to be you. See, here's the thing, though. I look at Facebook, and I have these kinds of friends. And this one friend who went bike riding, I love her. She's a dear old friend of mine. But I also tend to think, don't lie to me. No, I take it back. You're not lying to me. I'm lying to myself. I'm getting sucked down a path where I see their family and their experiences, and then I look at our family and we'll go swimming and bike riding, and how come we're not as happy as them? You know what? Don't be fooled, Eddie. Don't be fooled by that. Don't get sucked down that path because you know better. You know that life is not what you see on Facebook. It can't be. It can't be. Otherwise, Kohelet's a liar. And I believe Kohelet more than I believe Facebook. Kohelet tells me the life is full of ups and downs. And it's great. Life can be great until it's not. And life can be awful until it changes. That is really the only thing that we can count on, is that whatever your circumstances are, they will change. They will change. They will alter. They will shift. The minute you think, man, I am such a good parent. My child sleeps all through the night. Oh, man, we are so good. Thank you, the Ferber method of sleep training or whatever. Until you go on vacation and then you co-sleep with your child and then it's never the same again. You broke your child. Jacob was awesome. Man, from 2 months, I said, we're going to learn from the things that we messed up with Zachary. 2 months, he's crying, I do not care. I'm going to soundproof his door so I don't even hear it. I don't care. You're not going to die. And he was great. He was great until about a year and a half and we went on a trip where we all had to sleep together and then we broke him. And now we can't. There's no way. Baba, can you cuddle? Baba, the other day, I'm lying there. He's right there. Baba, you need to turn to your side. Like, are you serious? I'm right here. No, turn to your side, Baba. And then take your hand and then pat my back. I'm like, oh my God. When did we break you? You were so good. That's life. I'm not going to be fooled. And I'm telling you, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by these people. And I would also suggest to you, don't be the one who fools others. There is a part of me that really enjoys social media, and there's a part of me that despises it. Because it is just a mechanism to fool people that your life is better than it actually is. That's my experience of it. I'm a little bit tainted, a little bit jaded by it. Been a little bit burned. You see, Kohelet says, life is full of these inconsistencies. You want steadiness. You can't get it. So my only hope for you is just to find joy in simple things. A good meal, a nice afternoon, a walk in the park. Find joy in simple things. Be thankful for the simple things. not the extravagant things, not the experiences that we all seek for, but to find joy in simple things. So as I'm patting my son, annoyed that he wants me to pat him, I tell him, if I'm going to pat you, you're going to pat me. So I take his arm and I make him pat me. And then I think, you know what? Hey, it could be a lot worse. And he'll ask me, do you like my patting? Yes, I do. It is the best. Kohelet, once again, tells us the way the world is. And Kohelet knows why we are frustrated. He is a smart man. If only we would listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And while Kohelet describes that the world is inconsistent and up and down, you have put eternity into our hearts, a desire for consistency and steadiness. And this grand inconsistency, our desire for steadiness and the world's lack of steadiness, is what pushes us every day, every moment, every experience. It pushes us to long for the day of the return of your Son, who will bring steadiness and consistency and fulfillment. We look forward to that day, Lord. In the meantime, we pray that you would give us the gift, Kohelet describes, of enjoying and finding satisfaction in simple things. Not running the rat race, not chasing after experiences, not being fooled by our friends on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is. Help us to find satisfaction in these simple things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.